Fastamai, welcome along to Island Life. I'm Lewis Foster. This evening we're hearing about a growing movement of parents and guardians on the island who want to delay giving their children smartphones. Why? Concerns over the content they're seeing and the effect on their social skills, to name just a couple of reasons. Well, in January, the Department of Education, Sport and Culture published a new policy stating learners are permitted to bring their smart devices to school, but must keep them turned off and safely stored away during lessons and whilst travelling through the school. As students once again file back into the classrooms at the start of the academic year, we thought it would be a good time to listen back to the thoughts of those behind the Delay Smartphones IOM Facebook group and hear from the Education Minister herself about how that new policy has been received. With a warning, this programme features discussions on issues such as mental health, self-harm and suicide. Without further ado, let's hear from the campaigners, Megan Kenish, Jessica Cross and John Bolton.
Firstly, I just want to acknowledge the irony of a campaign like this being online. I'm very aware of that. It's been a really interesting year, actually. I first started the Facebook page because I felt really alone in my decision not to give my children smartphones. And to be honest, I'm not sure I had even made a decision at that stage. I just felt like I needed more information. So I started reading and listening to things and realised that collective action, so doing this together, is definitely the only way forward, I think. And I just didn't want to feel alone. And I thought, if I feel like this, how many other parents must feel the same as me? So the first thing I did was, embarrassingly, recorded a little video of myself and posted it on the school Facebook pages, which basically just said, like, is there anyone else out there? And from that, momentum built and I started the Facebook page, and it's, like you said, it's grew to 600 people. So that's 600 interested parents or carers who are now even just thinking about delaying giving smartphones to their children, which I just think it's so encouraging. And it's 600 more than we had, I don't know, 18 months ago.
And explain to us, what's the purpose then? What's the driver behind it? Why do you think it's necessary to delay that smartphone usage?
I don't think we know enough. And there's more and more research, which Jess might be able to point to, actually, that's coming out about, and danger might sound like an extreme word, but I'm going to choose to use it because it is dangerous sometimes. So if we all choose not to give our children smartphones, then there won't actually be a choice to make, because everyone would be doing the same thing at the moment. Kind of the no choice approach is to just give your child a smartphone because it's just what everybody does. Where if we make it a choice, and in fact, if we make the obvious choice to be not give your child a phone, then in my eyes, we've won and we've made our children's lives considerably better in the future too.
It seems to be what people say, isn't it? Well, until you have children of your own and their friends start getting phones, then you don't know whether to say yes or no. The peer pressure kind of flows through up to the parents, doesn't it? Jess, you say you've got some stats there. Why have you joined in this campaign?
My children are really too young for this to be a factor in my consideration at the moment, but I was already interested in this prior to having children, due to the, and I'm sure everyone's aware of it, due to Molly Russell, who was sadly a teenager who took her life back in 2017. And her father has been campaigning tirelessly. And it just resonated with me that I didn't want that for my children. Naively, I thought that change would have happened now, but it's quite apparent that change hasn't happened. So again, a bit like I felt a bit alone, and I feel like I can't be cross that nothing's happened if I'm not taking part in the fight. Does that make stats wise? I have done a lot of reading around this. I work in science. This is part of what I sort of do, and I think it is still too hard to prove that it's a definitive link, but there is definitely evidence to suggest that something is going, that there is being an effect on our children from a change. And stats that I have to quote are from papers published by an author called Jonathan Haidt. He's gaining a lot of traction at the moment because, and he is just, I just want to state, he's one scientist, and there is just data is everywhere. But that there has been an exponential growth since 2010 in girls being admitted into A&E for self-harming, 188% since 2010, and that's in girls. And that's not them self-reporting it, that is a physical consequence of mental health. Boys, there's been a suicide increase rate of 91%. So there is something out there damaging our young children. The change that's happened since 2010 is a smartphone. So we can see correlation, that doesn't mean causation, but it is something we've got to investigate.
And John, I mean, we're talking about Facebook and social media usage, but you're not on it yourself, are
you? No, I'm not. I'm actually, I'm a bit of an imposter because I'm not part of the group.
So how did you get in?
I wasn't going to do.
How did you get involved then?
I got involved through, my wife made me aware of Megan's video because Megan had been, it had been uploaded to LinkedIn. My wife had seen that, and about 6 months prior to that, I had my wife and I had been talking about this for way before having children, and our eldest is 9 now, and I'd sort of picked it up, put it down again, bored anyone that came within my circle on this topic to the point where people just sort of switched off to it. And then there was TikTok got fined £12 million for misuse of children's data a couple of years ago. At the same week that Rachel D'Souza, the Children's Commissioner for England, released a report saying that the online harms bill that's due to come out, the online safety bill that's due to come out, whilst it's well-meaning, it just isn't fit for purpose because the legislation is so far behind the technology. So I thought, well, these two things together, you can either whinge about it or you can try and become a doer. So the first thing I did was write a letter into the newspaper, which did get published. I did it anonymously so people didn't realise it was the dad of that girl at school. That got published on the Thursday, and I was in the pub on the Wednesday afterwards, and someone came up to me and said, did you have a letter published in the paper? So I was like, I really have been boring people on this topic for a long time now. But mercifully, I then saw Megan's video not long after that, and it's like, there's someone at least on the island that isn't me and isn't my wife that's thinking about this stuff. So contacting Megan, I think my wife was able to get her details through the Law Society, so I'd contact you on email. We met up, and then we had a couple of group meetings after that, and it's sort of, we sort of orbit around each other occasionally, don't we? Yeah, like we might not see each other for months, but obviously that common goal is still there, and that common goal is to, you know, keep childhoods fun, safe, and enjoyable.
Yeah, can I come back to that point that John made about childhood, actually, especially here on the Isle of Man? What an amazing place to live. What an amazing place for children to grow up, and what a shame it would be for children to not fully experience that. And I think so often we're overly fearful, maybe, of the dangers of the physical world, and quite understandably so. But often I think we overlook the dangers of the online world, and we think if our child is at home in their bedroom, it's okay, they're safe. And it's very easy, and I don't blame parents for thinking like this, because I do too. It's very easy to just think, to not consider the danger of the online world. And to be totally honest, sometimes I choose not to consider it because it's A, really scary, and the thought of it is, yeah, not worth thinking about. And secondly, it's sometimes just really easy to plonk your child, and I do it, in front of the computer or with an iPad, and say, just give me half an hour to make tea.
Interestingly, there is studies to show that that type of use is okay.
Oh, thank you, Jess.
Psychologists have said, so it's not, I don't think it's about banning or saying no screens, does that make sense? I think we just need a better understanding as parents. We feel a bit confused as to what is safe use, what is unsafe use. We don't feel there are potentially the protections for our children out there, and I don't want to control it. I want my child to explore the online world in a safe way, in the same way that we make the physical world a safe way. There just needs to be more safeguards put in situation, please.
So not about banning screens, because we have televisions, we have video games.
We live in a technological world. Yeah,
exactly. It's the content we're talking about, isn't it? Mm. And there are parental controls, aren't there? But do you think they're wide enough acknowledged and known about?
I would imagine that most people you meet will say, God, kids are so tech-savvy these days, aren't they? They know what they're doing more than I do, sort of thing. And in some cases, that's true. So if you're acknowledging that, then there's probably a good chance they know how to get around these parental controls. That isn't really the goal for this, I don't think. I think it's just giving them a safer experience online. I was really lucky. The school that my daughters go to facilitated a meeting with MyMHKs a year ago. And I came out a bit despondent, if I'm being honest. They were there at my request. So we started the conversation and I said, you know, thank you all for coming, blah, 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 and explain what sort of what the group is and what our ambitions were. And one of the MHKs looked at me and said, so you're saying stop kids using the internet then? Like, no, why would you deny them such an amazing tool, such an amazing resource that you can learn from? What I'm saying is don't give them the Wild West in their pocket, because that's where the dangers come in.
That's such a good way of putting it.
But there might be, of course, many parents on the Isle of Man who will be sending their child to secondary school, high school for the first time, who might start feeling that pressure about, do I get them a smartphone? Do I not? Do I get them a brick phone, perhaps for a few years? What would your message be to someone who's feeling that pressure right now?
My message would be that I completely feel for you. What a hard decision to make. Really difficult, especially if your child really wants a phone. And my advice would be to connect with other like-minded parents. Just posting that video was one of the hardest things I've ever done because it's so exposing, but just have one difficult conversation, just give it a go, and you might find someone who thinks the same as you, and you can stick together and it'll be 100 times easier.
Megan Kenish, Jessica Cross and John Bolton from the Delay Smartphones IOM group there. Well, a few weeks after that recording, once students had broken up for summer, I was joined in the studio by Education Minister Daphne Kane. Looking back over this academic year, you introduced a policy that learners are permitted to bring their smart devices to school but must keep them turned off and safely stored away during lessons and whilst travelling through the school. How has that gone down? How has it been received by staff, parents and the students as well?
Well, obviously, this standardises the mobile phone policy across all our secondary schools, all our schools, in fact, and it applies to teachers as much as to students. And I have to say, as far as I'm concerned, it has been very well received in the main. And the feedback I've had from schools is that there's been noticeably higher levels of social interaction in the break times, in particular lunch times, in those schools. So hopefully is viewed as a success.
And there were some schools on the island that already had this policy, wasn't it, before it was introduced? Was there any kickback from some of those that hadn't introduced it before?
No, this standardised it, and I said it applies equally to teachers as well as students. Also, some schools had a policy of no phones during lesson time, but permitted the use of phones on school premises in the break times, and this made it an off and away policy consistently across all schools.
Just remind us then why this was introduced, and what was the feedback you were getting before this academic year?
There's obviously a wider conversation about the age of young people accessing the internet and in particular social media, and that is a sort of wider societal concern. I think in school it's the level of distraction, particularly during lesson time with binging up messages. Also there is a safeguarding risk, so it's very important. While there is a mobile phone policy about the use, and the acceptable use of devices is another policy, that there has to be equally some education of children into the safe use of devices and also their internet and other access.
And you mentioned there about social interaction during break times. We spoke to Chris Gregory from Isle of Play last year, who said that research has proven mobile phones can have a significant impact on children's development. I mean, you mentioned social interaction. Have we seen any improvement, do you think, in academic results with that lack of distraction, or is it hard to tell?
Well, it's very hard to tell. Obviously, the policy came in formally after consultation with stakeholders, unions, teaching professionals. It was formalised, I think, came in from January this year. So for 2 terms of this year, it has been in force. And obviously, the first exam results we will see follow in this summer. But I think just wider as a support for students, the pressure not to be on social media, not to have the phone or the device, and also being able, as I heard Chris Gregory say, to have that unfettered play. And actually, what I read widely on it, what I'm reading is that young people having, you know, play time, going out to play, the traditional playing or being out in nature. You know, we are really blessed on the Isle of Man. We've got fantastic natural beauty, hills, coastal walks, also seas, you know, rock pooling. Manx Wildlife Trust, Isle of Play do a fantastic job through summer holidays with having schemes for children and young people to engage in. So I just think it's a really important thing to be able to put your phones down. Having said that, it's also a good tool. I know that when I've been out and about this Saturday, there was a plant that I didn't know what it was, or a butterfly, I didn't know what it was. It's very good sometimes to take a picture and be able to look up that actually this is chicory blooming wild, or vetch, or whatever it is. So there is a use for technology, but it having the ability to be out and enjoy nature or activities that don't rely on a smartphone, I think it's really important. But that is a bigger societal question. I am happy that within schools, the policy seems to have enabled students to participate fully without distraction during lesson time, but also have almost like a lack of pressure and a more willingness to engage socially amongst their peers and with their teachers. So far it is looking mainly, I'd say, if not entirely positive from the feedback that I've had.
And teachers, have you had feedback from them in terms of, you mentioned lesson time, it must be easier in the classroom to not have to be issuing those reminders every 5-10 minutes if somebody's sat at the back on their phone or you hear something beeping. What are they saying? Have you heard directly?
Yes, I've heard from teachers that there was a noticeable increase in volume in the break times when children were talking to each other, students talking to each other. That was particularly in the secondary schools. In lesson time, it's a massive plus that both teaching staff, setting the example as much as anything, not getting distracted by mobile devices, but also students, I wouldn't say it's 100% attendance or focus, but obviously there's a lot going on for a lot of students, and the weather's hot, or, you know, how much, it's a big ask if I cast my mind back to being at school, to be able to focus on the lesson and to be able to engage in the lesson. But all the feedback that I have had has been that it's a positive, and we're not actually thinking of amending it anytime soon.
And a timely beep of the phone that we heard in the background. But so how is this being? I know it is policy, as you mentioned beforehand. It's not a ban, but in terms of enforcement, I suppose, how is this being, you know, policed in a way?
Well, all the schools are applying the policy evenly. I haven't heard any kickback about it not working. Obviously, everybody is responsible for it. So should phones be seen, there are procedures in place for the secure confiscation or otherwise of those. Mm-hmm. And I should say as well that those students who have a requirement for a medical need obviously are still able to access that.
Of course, yeah. And you did touch on this before. If we can slightly widen the scope, there is a campaign by some parents who we've been speaking to in terms of urging other parents to delay giving their children smartphone until they're at the end of year 9 at least. What do you make of that campaign?
I watch with interest. I think if I cast my mind back with my now older teens, I think delaying the use of a smartphone beyond year 7, I would see as a positive, but every individual is different. And I have found amongst my generation of parents that sometimes it's as much for our peace of mind to be able to find out where child is at a particular time. I'm not sure that, you know, I think that society is waking up to the fact that we are giving children a device that opens up a whole world, not only social media, but internet and the massive risks of that. I think that there's something about the development and mental health awareness that we are only just discovering. And yeah, I look forward to seeing where that campaign goes. I think from what we've done within the schools, it feels like a positive step. And society as a whole and the ability to teach children what a powerful tool it is that they have, the appropriate use of that might be something that follows. But I'll watch with interest how the parents' campaign goes. And as we all know, peer pressure is a very real thing. And I know one of my colleagues actually on the roadshow was speaking how awful the pressure is of a child in year six and then in year seven. The expectation of that rite of passage now is that you receive a smartphone, and the peer pressure that puts on an individual, but also how that changes behaviour and interaction. So I think that perhaps we're only just discovering what 10, 15, 20 years of smartphone impact is on society in general.
Do you sympathise with parents having to make that choice if their child is starting in secondary school this coming September?
Well, the policy for us is off and away. You know, a child or a student is not obliged to have a phone because there isn't any use during the school day. So it's, I suppose, parental discussion with students as to the purpose and, you know, why is that necessary? Could you imagine living without your phone?
It would help, wouldn't it, to be able to say, well, you don't need a smartphone just yet. You're not allowed them in schools. When you're outside at home, we have a computer in the house or something like that. So, and that is what the group was saying about that peer pressure element of it. The more parents are signing up to this pack, the more actually turning to say, I'll agree as well. Could you have seen yourself 5 years ago signing that pact as well online if it was around?
I think 5 years ago, my oldest would have been 14 and already had a phone, and before that had an iPod with various music and everything else on and game playing. I think that the way the brain develops, the impact on the brain, the light, the ability to have the whole world and who knows who's contacting or making contact with children, even with the age restrictions, we know that teens or younger children sign up for certain social media sites that have an age restriction. How you police all that, it is much better, I think, if the parents have the conversation with their young people and come to an agreement. And I also have seen a couple of young girls quite happy not to have a phone and actually relishing the freedom that gives them. Mm. And I know amongst young people that I'm aware of, some who do not engage and are not on any social media. So I think, you know, we say that young people today, they're not as heavy drinkers as perhaps my generation were at young teenagers and under 18s and pushing the boundaries. And it's quite interesting, I think, to see that, you know, young people are equally able to see the research and the impact on their older siblings and older friends, perhaps to think that maybe the wise people reduce their use and or delay getting a smartphone. And we will see how that plays out over the next months.
Education Minister Daphne Kane there. Well, it caught my attention this week that it's not just on the island that the issue of smartphones in schools is being discussed. No, in fact, the mother of murdered teenager Brianna Jai is calling on the UK government to ban mobile phones in all schools. At present, across, it's up to head teachers whether to allow students to bring in their devices. Esther Jai says a ban would safeguard pupils and improve behaviour and engagement. She explains how Brianna struggled with phone addiction before she was killed in 2023.
When Brianna was in school, I would get lots of phone calls from the school saying that Brianna wouldn't put her phone away. And for me, I felt helpless, like, what am I supposed to do during the school time? How can I manage this? Me and Brianna would have so many arguments over her phone use. And to be honest, I felt frustrated. I felt like, why will you not just behave? Why won't you go to school, put your head down? But after being in this area now for 2 years and realising how addictive smartphones are and social media is, she really was just set up to fail. She couldn't manage that. And I think that if we had this ban in place, it would have made her a lot less vulnerable too. She would have been in school. She wouldn't have been being excluded. And Emma Mills at Birchwood has brought in the pouches. Yes. So she's had them there for 12 months now. She's doing amazing work. And the GCSE results have improved. Staff wellbeing's improved. Children are focusing more in the classroom, which is obviously reflected in the GCSE results. Something that really stood out to me that Emma said was that in the first 2 weeks, she was walking past the school dinner hall thinking, why is it so noisy in there? And it's because the children were having real face-to-face interactions. So with regards to Brianna, I think that she would have found a better friendship group. She would have had the opportunity to focus on her education. She would have been safeguarded better. And I want all children to be able to go to school and be able to focus.
The UK government says it is continuing to ramp up monitoring to make sure every school and every classroom is phone-free. As for the Isle of Man's policy, does the Education Minister have any plans to go further?
No, I wouldn't anticipate that this would be reviewed for at least a full year of its use, and more usually two years or more is the standard for looking at policy, unless we had a massive amount of feedback that made us reconsider any elements of it. I think that there is perhaps an element that says, alongside restricting the amount of time young people spend on devices, should there be an element of education? Now we have PHSC lessons within school and discussions and explore a whole range of topics, but it's the appropriate use and, you know, warning, the COPS level button, protection, child protection, safeguarding. You could say that we in education, there was an issue over children not being able to swim and the risk that was in around an island nation. So we teach swimming through schools, and then we have road safety, for instance, in schools, cycling proficiency. So how much time in a very packed curriculum should be appropriate that elements of social media awareness, impact, you know, mental health, well-being, resilience, all that, I could see that evolving over the coming years.
There we go. Well, that's it for tonight's edition of Island Life. If you've been affected by any of the issues discussed in this programme, you can find all the details for the relevant help and support at manxradio.com/support. I've been Lewis Foster, Gurumayed. Thank you for listening.